Praise the Lord. A message number 299. And the title of this message is The Parable of the Unjust Steward. Let's open our Bible to the book of Luke chapter 16. And let's read verse 1 to verse 13. Luke 16 and verse 1 to verse 13. And he said also unto his disciples, There was a certain rich man which had a steward, and the same was accused unto him that he had wasted his goods. And he called him and said unto him, How is it that I hear this of thee? Give an account of thy stewardship, for thou mayest be no longer steward. Then the steward said within himself, What shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg. I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, How much owest thou unto my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and sit down quickly, and write 50. Then said he to another, And how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, Take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commanded the unjust steward, because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of the unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitations. He that is faithful in that which is least, is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? And if you had not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you and we praise you. We come before you in the name of Jesus. We ask you to bless this time and use it mightily. Anoint your word. Anoint your servant and put statement and scriptures in my lips to exhort your people, to encourage them, to tease them, that they will be directed, that they will be encouraged, they will be rebuked, corrected, admonished. I pray for a spirit of repentance upon those who hear, the conviction of the Holy Spirit to lead them to do exactly what you want them, Lord, to do. I pray for clear explanation of the message. I pray for fruit. I pray for harvest that you desire to see in the life of your church and the life of your people. I pray for help, hope, healing, strength, workers to be raised up, and ministries to be cleansed, and workers to be set apart to save you. Take this message with the power of the Holy Spirit and make it reach those who are waiting for it and those who are in need to hear this word of yours. We thank you, Lord. We bless you, Jesus. This all we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. In this story, in this parable that Jesus told us about, we have read that there was a steward, and the steward was under a rich man. In fact, the rich man has the steward working under his care, and he was entrusted with material things. And news came that the steward had wasted the good of that rich man, and the rich man called him, and as we have read, and he told him, "Give an account of your stewardship, for you may not be longer steward." So he warned him that you may lose your job. And this life the same. We are entrusted with material things. And one day or another, we will be called by God or the authorities that God had placed to be giving an account of the things that we have done with what we had entrusted with. We learn of certain facts from this parable that the material things that we receive and abuse, they will be the instruments that will be used for our judgment. See, this unjust steward, bad steward, he was given material things. He's supposed to use them on the for the welfare of his master. He did not use them in this direction. He wasted them. He lavished them on himself. And now the same material things, God will use them to bring judgment on that bad steward. The second point, there will be always a time that we are called to give an account. You know, God sometimes may allow sin for a certain period of time. He will not judge at once. But sooner or later, he will expose the sin that we are doing against his will and call us for an account. The third point is, there will be always a system that God had provided to scrutinize us and to deal with our shortcomings. A system that can take from us our privileges and our good facilities if we abused what the Lord had given to us. Here in this parable, the rich man was the authority that God had placed over that steward, and he was judged by the rich man. That steward, that bad steward, was finally judged by the rich man who was over him. The fourth fact, the sin of that steward was wasting the goods of his master. We should know, and you should know, wasting and abusing resources is sin, and God will judge us of what we wasted. God shall judge you of what you wasted. God shall judge her of what she wasted. God shall judge him of what he wasted. The fifth fact, we should know that all what we have is not ours but God's. He gave them to us to manage them. They are not ours but his. Therefore, wasting resources are wasting what belongs to God. Therefore, when we waste, we are disturbing the system of God. And finally, the judgment of God will fall on those who waste the resources of the Lord. The six facts that we should know. We should know that all what we have is not ours, but the people. It's not only for us, but what we have is for the peoples who are around us. God gave them to us in order to pass them on to others. Therefore, when we waste, then we are taking away the share of other people and deprive them of their rights. Those people could be our families, our loved ones, our church people, the next generation. When God gives us things, that's not yours. That is His. And that is not only for you. That is for others. Amen. Let's continue. So he called him, and he was cornered, and he was faced with his sin. God always exposes sin, exposes shortcoming, not only because he wants to put us to shame or to judge us or to deal with us or to repay us for our sin. No. But God exposed sin in order for us to take the chance for repentance. Always, you need to take it positively. When God is disturbing your sinful life, His purpose is your salvation and not your destruction. Amen? Can you say that when God exposed my sinful life, His purpose is my salvation, not my destruction? Yes, God truly love you, and He wants to save you from the destructive effect of sin. Therefore, let us take the opportunity of repentance and turn away from sin toward God. You know, when the steward in this parable was confronted with his sin, there's one statement that the rich man, his boss, told him. He told him, "For thou mayest be no longer steward." The meaning of this statement is that you may lose your position as a steward. So he did not tell him, "You are fired." He did not give him the final decision, but he told him, "You may lose it. You may lose it and you may gain it. Depend what? It depends on what? It depends if he will repent or no." So he was given the chance that he may not lose his office and job if he would repent. The judgment of God always. When God set his judgment on sin, the judgment will go forward and it will come through if there will be no repentance and the sinful attitude would continue. So when God is dealing with sin, even at the time of dealing with the sin, the time of judgment, there will be always mercy upon repentance. If people repent, they will be forgiven. They will be passing period of restoration, period of that they need to restore what they had done wrong. They will bear the consequence of their sin. But as they repent, God will help. But those who will not repent, more they will find things becoming more hard. And finally, the ultimate judgment of God will fall on them. You know, when he was confronted, as we read verse 3, then the steward stayed within himself. He started to think, "What shall I do?" So he's asking himself, what shall I do? He does not want to repent. So here, chance was given to him, but he is not willing. And what he say? He's asking himself, "For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship." So he understood it, that his stewardship will be taken away. Why? Because he is not willing to repent. He did not say, "Oh, let me repent. Let me confess my sin. Let me appeal that he will give me another chance. Let me commit myself not to do it again." That's the way. So here, when he was confronted, "For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship," he did not say, "Because of my sin." He put it on the steward. And what he say? "I cannot dig. Too big, I am ashamed." So here, it clearly, when he was faced with his sin, his thoughts showed further sin in his life. When the way he spoke to himself, and it's written and we have read it in verse 3, it showed there are other sins in his life. The other sins are laziness. What he say? "I cannot dig. I cannot work hard." Why you cannot work hard? Because he's lazy. "I cannot dig." And also he had the pride. He had the pride and not willing to be humiliated, because he say, "Too big, I am ashamed. I cannot say, please forgive me, please help me. No, he having also pride. From the way the steward thought, it showed that he had no repentance and having tactics to cover up his sins further and to rebel. You know, certain people, when you face them, instead of repenting, they will have the tactics. They will have another strategies to fight back, to rebel, in order to cover up their wrongdoing. In verse 4, he said to himself, I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. You know, he started to think to himself, and we need to understand one thing about thinking to ourselves. When we think to ourselves, our thoughts, our words, we speak to God. You know, our thoughts, devil cannot read, and other people around us cannot discover or read. But God is the reader of our thoughts. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 and 10 say, the heart is deceitful above all things, and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, says the heart, I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doing. So here our thoughts are read by God. God can read and discover us when he looks into our thoughts. Also, we need to understand not that only our thoughts can be read by God, but our thoughts, our wrong thoughts, will be a place to breed temptation that will lead us to take certain wrong decisions that will lead us to sin. The wrong thoughts will breed temptations, and temptation will lead us to sin. The steward resolved what his decision to make a friendship with the people around him in a wrong, compromising way. You know how he was thinking? He say, as we have read in verse 5 and 6, he called those whom they need to pay a certain amount for his master. One of them, he told him, how much you need to pay? He told him 100. He told him 100 measure of oil. He told him, sit down and make it 50. He called the other. He told him, how much you need to pay to my master? How much owest thou? And he said, 100 measure of wheat. He told him, sit down and write 4 score. 4 score is 80. So what he did here, he gave discount to the people from the money of his master. This money that he make discount to them, they need to pay to his master. So in addition to his sin of wasting, his sin of pride, his sin of laziness, he is unjust. He is unjust person. You know, he favor the customers of his master, and he did not allow them to pay what's due for them to his master, you know, in order that he will have favor with them. Then when he will lose his job, he will go to them and they need to repay him back the favor that they have received from him. But that is the favor, not, it's not from him, from his master. That is not his money. That is another cheating, another injustice this wrong steward have done. Imagine how he is noxious, how he is wicked, and how he is retaliating when his sins are exposed. And we read verse 8. And the Lord commended the unjust steward because he had done wisely, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. The Lord, he did not admire, but he cynically laughed on how this unjust steward, how he was smart in achieving his ungodly target in a devilish, in an earthly, and in an unspiritual wisdom of this world. The time that sin would expose, then that man or those people who are wicked steward, their true nature will appear. Sometimes you will see people, they say, you say, they are behaving like that, they do like that. Yes, because their sin are exposed. This man, when his sin exposed, he is not ashamed to do such wicked things. He was ashamed to beg, but he is not ashamed to do wicked things. You see how the pride, they are so wise in doing wicked things. You see here, when the Lord said, for the children of this generation wiser than the children of light, they are wise in the devilish, earthly, and non-spiritual wisdom. They are wise to do wicked things, but they are not wise to repent and come back to the Lord and do what is right and what God wants them also to do. You know, when the Lord says, for the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light, he does not mean that the wicked are more wise than the people of God. He does not mean that the wicked people are wiser than us. We are the children of light. But what he means here, the wicked people, the people of the world, they had set their priority in worldly treasures and not heavenly eternal treasures. Therefore, you find them wiser in earning, in cheating, in lying, in manipulating, in taking advantage, in abusing, in being opportunistic. You will find them more wiser than us. We cannot do these wrong things. They may tell you are fool, they are unwise. Why you cannot do it this way? All of them are doing it. No, we cannot do that because we are the children of light. Those children of this world, the wicked children, the children of this world, they will have their reward on earth. And then in hell, they will receive what is due for them. They will be punished. And this parable had followed in Luke 16, at the latter part of Luke 16, you can read the parable of the rich man and the Lazarus. We come to know that the rich man, finally end up in hell because he was disobedient to God, and he was one of kind of, but steward. Therefore, we need to live and continue to live as the children of life, children of light. We don't follow the wrong ways. We don't follow the children of the world in their ways. We should not do that because our focus is toward heaven, and we are recommended to use the materials, things that was given to us in a godly way to promote the mysteries of God. We might be laughed on and ridiculed in this world because we would not accept to do evil and to promote corruption, and we will have our reward in heaven. In verse 9, and I say unto you, make to yourself friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when you fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. Jesus wants us to use our resources, the material resources given to us, in a godly way and according to the scriptures to please God and to do His will in order to secure eternity and in order for us to live with God forever. When He say, make to yourself friends of mammon of unrighteousness. What the Lord mean here, to make a friendship with Him, using the material things that God gave us. We should not use it to make worldly friends, but to keep our friendship with the Lord, with the Lord Jesus Christ. We are called to have friendship with Jesus and keep managing our resources as He wished from us, for He will reward us abundantly. And behold, in Book of Revelation, chapter 22, verse 12, it says, "Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me, to give every man according as his work shall be." He that is faithful, verse 10, Luke chapter 16, verse 10, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." Events in life are quizzes, are exams, short exams that God is checking us with. And through reading our thoughts and seeing our conducts, the Lord use these things as exams, and He will rate us, and He will reward us and recompense us accordingly. Whether we are at home, whether we are in the office, at marketplace, or somewhere else, we'll be tested and watched well how we will respond and how we will show our faithfulness to God, and our faithfulness will be measured, and how we respond, how we think, and how we conduct our life, then the futures will be programmed for us by God. If we fail God, if we do wicked things, judgment will come. But if we will prove to God, even through the small circumstances, that we keep our integrity, keep our commitment, then if we are just with the small, then we are also just and faithful with the big. In verse 11, "If therefore you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches?" Now the unrighteous mammon is the material thing that of this world. You know, now if we will abuse the resources given to us and direct them only toward our selfish gain, then God will not entrust us with heavenly true riches. The unrighteous mammon is the corruption that is around us. And every now and then God will allow corruption, cheating, bribing, stealing, lying. He will put us in a circumstances, and He will check, are we going to be part of the corruption, or we will be part of the divine uncorrupted nature? God is watching us, how we will respond to the process of corruption. If you will go with that trend of this world, then God will not entrust us with eternal riches, even eternal life. If the small corrupted things, we are enticed and we are abusing them for ourselves, then God will not entrust us for eternal riches. Material blessings come from God, and He gave them to us to use them, and He monitor us, examine and scrutinize us of how we use them. Material blessings, put it in your mind, are not yours, are not ours, but they belong to God. He gave them to us to test us and to find out if we are faithful in using them. If we would pass the test, then God would reward us with the blessings that are our own, and they will be everlasting. But if we would fail God and start to abuse our resources to nourish our flesh, to support our selfish ambition and worldly plans, then God will not bestow on us everlasting blessing. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? The material things, the The Mammon, the corrupt Mammon of this world, it belonged to God. He gave them to us, so He will prove us if we are faithful or no. If we are faithful with His property, then He will give us something of our own. The material things are not us. What we have of material things are belong to God. If we are faithful in being a steward to them, then God give us our own riches, and that is eternal life, the gift of salvation from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to those who believe and follow Him wholeheartedly. Therefore, according to Luke 16, verse 13, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and Mammon. God, make it to us very clear. You cannot say, I love God and I love the world and I love the money and I love material things. You need to love God. If you have love to all material things, that love will be proved by test, and God will see how you will manipulate in order to keep the material things for you. But the more you show your faithfulness toward God and you show that you are trustworthy, then you may not have the material things, but you will have eternal life. And I believe those who are faithful, God will give them more. The parable of Jesus Christ, it shows those who are faithful, they will be given more the trust, they will be more promoted, and they will have more material blessing. We need to choose God and do properly with what He entrusted to us, for they are His. They are not only for us, but for others. He may give them to you or to me or to us, but it's not there for us. They are for they belong to Him, and His intention may be for other people, even to the next generation. We need to understand that our stewardship will be judged, and if we are faithful, we would receive the salvation, the free gift of God. Let's come to the Lord and let us commit yourself to the Lord. Tell Him, Lord, forgive me of wasting resources. Forgive me my laziness. Forgive me being not good steward of what You entrust to me. Forgive me my pride. Forgive me being unjust, favoring some people, manipulating, trying to bypass authorities and scrutinizing of Yours, and rebelling. I repent of this. Since, O God, I surrender my life unto You, Lord, I am willing, Lord, to abide with the principle that I learned from this message, O God, even if it is I need to be scrutinized, I need to be disciplined, corrected, I need to bear the consequences of my sin, I am willing to do that. Kneel down before the Lord and ask Him to have mercy on you, that He will give you another chance to serve Him wholeheartedly. Tell Him, Lord, forgive me, I will not do it again. I am willing to walk faithfully on Your ways, O God. Lord, I commit myself to serve You, to be honest and faithful to the end. Lord, I pray You sustain me with good health, strength, and provide for my needs so that I will continue to serve You. I pray, Lord, for my brothers and sisters who pray earnestly, who repent of their sin. Use them mightily, O God, in the name of Jesus, to surrender their life and will to You, O God, that they will be an instrument in Your hand to reach the lost, O God, and spread the salvation of Jesus. Raise up more workers to serve You, God. Take this message by the power of the Holy Spirit and make it, Lord, reach those who are in need of this word, those who are waiting to hear this message. Take it, O God, and use it and receive the harvest and the glory that belong to You. We thank you and we praise you. O God, bless us. Enlarge our territory, God. Let your hand be with us. And keep us, Lord, from harm, so that we will not feel pain. May the grace of the Lord Jesus and love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.